So if you have your Bibles, turn with me to Hebrews chapter 11, please. Hebrews 11. We're going to just read the first few verses. It says, "Now faith is the assurance of things hoped for, the conviction of things not seen. For by it the people of old received their commendation. By faith we understand that the universe was created by the word of God, so that what was seen was not made out of things that are visible. By faith Abel offered to God a more acceptable sacrifice than Cain, through which he was commended as righteous, God commending him by his gifts. And through his faith, though he died, he still speaks. And by faith Enoch was taken up so he should not see death, for he was not found because God took him into heaven. Now before he was taken, he was commended as having pleased God. For without faith," verse 6 is what we're going to look at today, "for without faith it's impossible to please him. For whoever would draw near to God must believe that he exists and that he rewards those who seek him." Amen. And so I just want to bring a little bit of recap. If you were not here last week, we said that really this letter to the Hebrews is really a letter of encouragement. The writer is encouraging these Christians, largely Jews that had become Christians, turned to Christ, and he's encouraging them to not take a low view of Jesus, but to keep looking to Jesus. Jesus wasn't just an angel, but he's God. And he is the supreme revelation of God. He is God himself. And to keep believing and to keep looking to Jesus. And he's encouraging them to press on in the faith. Not just saving faith, but to press on into second stage faith. And if you look at all the people in Hebrews 11 here, they all achieved things. They were weak people, but achieved things in the second phase of their faith. They were works of faith. They went on to achieve things for God. Hebrews chapter 10, verse 35 just says to us, Hebrews 10, 35 says, "Therefore, do not throw away your confidence, which has great reward." You see that word? "For you have need of endurance, so that when you've done the will of God, you may receive what he has promised." So what the Lord wants from us, he wants us to press on and lay hold of the rewards he has for us and not to shrink back and to lose our rewards. And so we don't want to, as Christians, listen carefully, we don't want to lose our rewards in the second stage of our Christian lives. We don't want to find that we shrink back and we lose faith, but we want to press on through faith and patience. We lay hold of the promises of God, and we receive the rewards that God has for us. Amen. And so we were looking at that last week, and we just said a few things. We said faith is faith in a person. It's faith in Jesus. It's a new and living way because Jesus is alive. We said faith also will protect us. It's the shield of faith that will protect us from all the fiery darts of the evil one. And thirdly, we said faith comes by hearing God's word. And we need to be listening to God that faith may be stirred in our hearts. And so this morning, I want us to come to the fourth principle, and I want us to look at number four, which is how you apply your faith. How do you as a Christian apply your faith on a daily basis? And I'd like you to turn with me, please, to Luke chapter 8. So we're going to jump to Luke, and I'm going to use the story of the disciples in the storm to help us to understand how we should apply our faith. Luke chapter 8. So let's just read the short account of the disciples in the storm. Luke chapter 8, verse 22. You guys okay? Luke 8, verse 22. And I really trust this will help you today. It says, "One day he got into a boat with his disciples and he said to them, 'Let us go across to the other side of the lake.' And so they set out, and as they sailed, he fell asleep. And a windstorm came down on the lake, and they were filling with water and were in danger." These windstorms were quite incredible. They would really just come up suddenly, and you could capsize and be in trouble. "And they went and woke him, saying, 'Master, Master, we are perishing.' And he awoke and rebuked the wind and the raging waves, and they ceased, and there was a calm. And he said to them, 'Where is your faith?' And they were afraid, and they marveled, saying to each other, 'Who then is this, that he commands even the winds and the water, and they obey him?'" Amen. And so I want to talk to you this morning about how do you apply your faith? How do you put your faith into operation. Romans chapter 12, as we were looking last week, says to us that we've been each given a measure of faith in the Christian life, and that faith has to be put into operation. It has to be exercised. It doesn't just work magically. It doesn't just work automatically. You need to put your faith into operation. And so this morning I want to talk to us, how do you apply your faith, particularly when you go through storms, particularly when you go through difficulties? How should you apply your faith? And if you can learn the lesson in a storm, then you can apply it to all sorts of situations you may find yourself in. How do you apply your faith when things happen unexpectedly? When things just appear in your life? When you're also going along and you're in the will of God and a storm comes up? These disciples were with Jesus in the boat. They were in the will of God. Jesus was in the boat with them. Jesus said, let's go together. They were not out the will of God. They were in the will of God and they hit a storm. Sometimes you hit storms, you hit troubles even when you're in the will of God. You're in the will of God, but a storm may come your way. Obedience to Jesus does not mean a storm-free life. Jesus was in the boat when the storm came. And it's one thing to be in the midst of a windstorm with Jesus in the boat, but it's even worse when he's asleep in the boat. How many of you have been through storms and you think, I think God, maybe he's sleeping right now. I don't know if God's aware of the storm. I don't know if God's really knows what I'm going through. Maybe he's focused on something else. Maybe he's busy helping somebody else. And I've been there. I've been through situations in my life where I've gone through real tests of faith and that have rocked my faith. And I've thought, where is God in this? Where is he? Where is he? I need him now. I need his help. And that's what the disciples felt. That they were full of fear, even though they were seasoned fishermen. They were in danger, the Bible says. And they needed faith at that time. And so I want to help you this morning how you can apply your faith, because we need it individually as we go through life, and we need it corporately. We need corporate faith together. This was a team storm. They were in it together, and we are trusting God together for things. Can you say amen? We're trusting God for a day of visitation. You may be trusting God and your family for things. I know we're trusting God for things in the CCP project. Sometimes it's corporate faith. We're in it together. But sometimes it's also individual faith. We trust in God together. Sometimes we go through storms as a group, as a team. You may go through things together. But sometimes you go through secret storms that no one knows about. You may go through a personal storm, a secret storm, a financial storm, a storm in your family, in your marriage, a health storm. And you may fear the future. And in the midst of the storm, we must find faith. How do we find faith in the midst of the storm? And the disciples had clearly lost their faith. We don't know where it went. Maybe it got washed overboard. Maybe they left it back on the shore. But they lost faith because Jesus says to them, where's your faith? He wakes up, he says, where's your faith? Where's your faith gone? So how do you apply faith in the midst of a storm? I want to give you a few points this morning. Number one, you need to, as best possible, refuse fear and put on faith. Faith doesn't work automatically. It doesn't work magically. You need to refuse fear and put on faith. You have to put it into operation. The first thing you have to do when you find yourself in a difficult situation is you have to refuse to panic as best possible. You refuse to be controlled by that situation. Faith is a refusal to panic even when you are in danger. I was in a storm worse than this once years ago when I was a young man in the Navy. We hit a Sea State 6. We were out rescuing a yacht. I think you know the story. And it was so bad. The waves were washing over the deck. When you're on the upper deck, you can't walk without, you have a line called a lanyard, and you have to clip yourself on. And then you take a few steps and you unclip yourself and you clip yourself on again. Because if you don't, you just get washed off and they'll never find you again. And so that's what was happening here to the disciples. But faith is a refusal to panic even when you are in danger. It's just saying, please, Lord, help me not to panic right now and to lose it. Because the absence of faith will open the door to fear. Because fear, listen carefully, is unbelief. Faith is unbelief kept quiet. Faith is unbelief kept quiet. Where you say to yourself, I'm not going to be controlled by the storm. I'm not going to be controlled by my feelings. I must reach for faith. Don't take the presence of a storm as the absence of God or the absence of being able to find faith. You can find faith in a storm. Can you say amen? And so you have to stop and think. And you have to not panic. And I know, I've been there so many times. The disciples didn't do that because of the wind and the waves in the boat, and they started panicking. And distress can be like that. It can overwhelm you. You can go through situations where you feel, this is beyond my control. But most of the time, things are not out of control. And you can stop. And you can exercise faith. It's something I'm learning to do in my Christian life, where you put off fear and you put on faith. You refuse fear and you put on faith by looking to God. You put stuff off in your Christian life and you put stuff on in your Christian life. And this is a big deal in the Christian life. There's so many passages in the New Testament that talk about putting stuff off and putting stuff on in the Christian life. And a lot of it's to do with our putting off sinful behavior that belongs to our past, but it also involves your emotions and your feelings like anxiety and fear and temptation and all these things. The Bible says you must put stuff off and you must put stuff on. It's a big thing. Turn with me to Ephesians chapter 4. Let's just look there at verse 20 together. Ephesians chapter 4, verse 20. Ephesians chapter 4, verse 20 says this. He's writing to the Ephesians. He says, that's not the way that you learned Christ. So one of the in the early church, if I can just detour for a moment, just bear with me. When we did the Reformation series, I did a lot of reading around the Reformation, and a lot of material came out. And in the early church, they had a lot of instruction to new Christians about how to live the Christian life. Catechism and instructions and teachings about what it meant to be a Christian, how to live the Christian life. And here we have some of that teaching. And so they used to get new Christians together and say, listen, in order to live the Christian life, in order to be like Jesus, there's certain things you must put off and there's certain things that you must put on. Hallelujah. So the Christian life, in a sense, is we have to constantly get dressed and undressed in the Christian life. There are things you have to refuse and there are things you have to put on. And he's saying it here. He's saying, this is how you learned Christ. Assume that you heard about him and were taught in him as the truth is in Jesus, to put off your old self, which belongs to your former manner of life and is corrupt through deceitful desires, and to be renewed in the spirit of your mind. Look there. And to put on the new self. It says the same thing in Colossians 3. Created after the likeness of God in true righteousness and holiness. Therefore, putting away falsehood, let each one of you speak the truth with his neighbors. Be angry, don't sin. Do not let the sun go down on your anger. Give no opportunity for the devil. The thief must no longer steal, but rather labor, doing honest work with his hands, so that he may have something to share with people in need. Let no corrupt talk come out of your mouth, only what's good for building on, building others up, as fits the occasion, so that it may give grace to those who hear. And don't grieve the Spirit of God, with whom you were sealed for the day of redemption. Let all bitterness and wrath and anger and clamor and slander be put away. Be kind to each other, tender-hearted, forgiving each other as God forgave you. And so what he's saying here, he's saying that when you become a Christian, you need to put off things that belong to your old life. And you need to put on new clothing that belongs to your new life. In fact, Romans 13, verse 14, wonderful scripture. It says, clothe yourself with the Lord Jesus Christ. Hallelujah. And make no provision for the flesh. And he goes through a number of areas, six areas. He says, don't tell lies, tell the truth. Put off lies and put on the truth. Put off anger and put on peace. Put off stealing and start giving. Put off swearing. It's not a good idea to keep swearing if you're a Christian. Amen. Don't swear it, say it. Don't get bitter, get better. Don't embrace sexual impurity, but purity. Don't put off cursing and put on thanksgiving. And that's what he calls learning Christ. Hallelujah. So what you need to do in your Christian life, I was going to take my shirt off, but my wife wouldn't let me. So what you need to do in the Christian life is you need to realize that when you were a non-Christian, this is an old surfing t-shirt I had, you used to act in a certain way, and you used to behave in a certain way, and now that person is dead. That person has died with Christ. Hallelujah. And what you need to do now, you need to bring your behavior in line with who you are, with your new identity. Hallelujah. So all the way you used to behave in your former way of life, you need to take it off. You need to take off those old clothes. Hallelujah. You need to take it off. You need to take off sexual impurity. You need to take off bitterness. You need to take off fear. You need to take off these things. And you need to throw them away because they belong to your former way of life. Hallelujah. They don't belong to you anymore. And you need to put on. Hallelujah. Now I really look like T.D. Jakes, my favorite preacher. Hallelujah. All glory. Can you say hallelujah this morning? Hallelujah. Can you give me a praise offering this morning? All glory. Hallelujah. You put on a new set of clothes. You put on a new set of clothes in line with your new identity. Hallelujah. And one of the important things in the Christian life, friends, is to understand that you're now a new creation with a new mind, and therefore you must throw off, not just once, not just twice, but every day. You've got to throw stuff off. So this doesn't belong. This was part of my old way of life. This was part of my old way of thinking. This doesn't belong to me anymore. Getting rid of it. You put on a new set of clothes. Hallelujah. Our lives have radically changed. Therefore, your clothing must change. And it's one of the things they used to teach new Christians. New life, new lifestyle. New creature, new clothing. New attitudes, new behavior. Hallelujah. And so you have a crisis of conversion, and then you have a process where you learn to get dressed and undressed right throughout your Christian life, and it will help you so much. And part of that transformation is not just putting off bad behavior, but listen carefully, it's also putting off wrong emotions and wrong feelings. Ask me. I've got strong emotions. And putting on right emotions and right feelings to the glory of God. And sometimes emotions are more difficult to handle than behavior, because if you're in the midst of a storm, you do get emotional and you do get afraid. But you have to stop, and you have to refuse to panic, and you have to go to your wardrobe, and you have to find faith, and you have to put it on. And you have to find the clothing that's appropriate to what you're going through. That's what self-control is. It's the ability to do what you've decided to do, even when you don't feel like it. So that you don't get swept away by your feelings, even before the storm washes you overboard. You don't get overwhelmed by these things. It's okay to be afraid. It's okay to realize, look, I'm afraid at the moment. They say you need to name it in order to tame it. I like that. Sounds also like a T.D. Jakes quote. So you need to know, I'm afraid now. I'm about to panic, but I'm not going to panic to the glory of God. I'm going to take panic off by the power of the Holy Spirit, and I'm going to put on faith in this situation. Hallelujah. Because if you don't, you will keep repeating the same things you've always done, the same emotions you've always expressed. You'll just keep on doing and doing until you stop and say, I'm taking that off. And by the grace of God, I'm putting on something different. Hallelujah. So look at the mood in the boat. Let's just go back to Luke. Let's just have a look at the mood that was in the boat. Luke chapter 11. Sorry, Luke chapter 8. Luke chapter 8. Look at the mood in the boat. Luke 8. Verse 24, and they went and they woke him, saying, Master, Master, we are perishing. They were panicking. They lost faith. They said, Master, Master, we are perishing. And if you don't learn to handle this kind of stuff in your life, and I'm still learning, I'm on a journey just like you. But if you don't, every time you're in a storm, you will say, Master, Master, I'm perishing. And the devil will just keep throwing stuff your way because he knows you'll react in the same way every time. Every time, 6 months later, he'll just send another storm your way. Boop. And what will you do? He'll say, Master, Master, I'm perishing. And friends, this is important. This is a big deal today because we live in a generation that thinks with their feelings. We are living in a generation today that has abandoned truth. That's why we all talk about fake news. Facebook lately, what's the guy that runs Facebook? He's saying, now we're really going to deal with real news. We're getting rid of fake news. So we're a generation that has got rid of truth and we've put on feelings as a covering. We decide now by how we feel. The postmodern generation, this world we live in, believes three things generally. You need to be true to yourself. You need to do what makes you happy, and no one has the right to tell you what to do. It's called the selfie generation. And so people today are overwhelmed with decisions and situations, and they can only make those decisions based on feelings. And we mustn't just make decisions based on feelings. Am I communicating this morning? Because feelings and emotions are among Satan's primary instrument for attacking Christians, and they can't be always trusted. So to operate well in your Christian life, you must do things, you must learn Christ. You must learn a new way of operating. You will develop an identity beyond your emotions, beyond your feelings. You let your thinking, a renewed mind in Christ, change your heart, and then your feelings follow. The feelings are not in the front of your life, leading you where I feel. If it feels good, do it. I'm leading my feet. No, that's how the world operates. No, we don't. We've got the mind of Christ. We need to think things through. We need to say, Lord, what do I do in this situation? We ask God to strengthen our heart, and then we make a decision whether we feel like it or not. That's true Christianity. Hallelujah. That's how you handle strong and overwhelming emotions. Hallelujah. You ask yourself, I'm not going to let these emotions push me to do something that's going to not bring glory to God. And you have to ask yourself, what is this fear pushing me to do? What is this anxiety pushing me to do? What is this temptation pushing me to do? What is this loneliness pushing me to do? You have to ask yourself those questions. And then you need to say, I'm not going to put this on. I'm going to put it off, and I'm going to change my clothes in this situation. Hallelujah. For some of us this year, it's time to change clothes and to not keep responding in the same way we've always responded, to put Christ on in that situation. It's one of the most important things for Christians to understand today, that we respond biblically and not emotionally in the midst of a distorted value system in our culture. And also to handle the increasing number of storms we may face. We may just face a few storms this year. This is to help you. I told you this is a message for the mature. Where you say, I'm refusing that bad behavior. That belongs to my past. And that person's dead. I'm putting on new clothes. Hallelujah. To the glory of God. New behavior, new thinking, new attitudes. Hallelujah. And so what you do, step number one, in order to apply your faith, you refuse to panic. So I'm not going to panic. I'm not going to do what I always do. I'm going to stop. I'm going to think this through to the glory of God. Hallelujah. What change of clothing? And often it's to move in the opposite spirit. When there's fear, you say, Lord, I need a jacket of trust right now. When it's temptation to sexual impurity, you say, Lord, I need a jacket of purity right now. Won't you clothe me with that? Hallelujah. That's what it means to learn Christ. That's what it means to be a true Christian in the midst of a society that's just led all over the place by their feelings and by their emotions because they've thrown truth out the window. That's the first thing you have to do. Secondly, we have to remind yourself of what you believe and what you know. Hang on, hang on a minute. Who's that sleeping over there? That's Jesus. Hang on, he's with me in the boat. Are we really going to drown with Jesus in the boat? You talk to yourself. You don't listen to yourself. You talk to yourself. Are we really going to drown with Jesus in the boat? Remember how he delivered me last time I was in a storm? And so faith sees the wind and the waves. It's not unrealistic. When they translated the King James Bible, they got one of the translations incorrect. Turn with me to Romans 4, verse 19. Romans 4, verse 19. You still there? You guys have got quiet. Romans 4. T.D. Jakes, I mustn't keep talking about T.D. Jakes. T.D. Jakes has got a guy on the organ, and every time he makes a point, the guy just plays the organ. I thought, oh, I'd love that in Grace Chen. Someone behind me on the keyboard. Oh, hallelujah. But don't worry, we won't do that. My wife will be tell me you can't do that. Okay, so Romans 4 verse 19 says this. It's talking about Abraham and Sarah. Remember, Abraham was about 100. His wife was old. They hadn't had kids. And Romans 4 verse 19 says this. It says, he did not weaken in faith when he considered his own body, which was as good as dead, or when he considered the barrenness of Sarah's womb. The guys that translated the King James, they said that he considered not his own body and he considered not the barrenness of Sarah's womb. He just trusted God. So some people that have a faith position, they say, no, you don't look at the wind and the waves. You don't look at the cancer. You don't look at the problem. You just look at God. That's not what the Bible's saying. The Bible says you can consider the wind and the waves. You can consider the storm. You can consider the situation, but you don't focus on the situation. You then look to God. Hallelujah. You then look to God. So we don't have faith in faith. We have faith in God. And you're aware there's wind and there's waves. We're in danger. The situation is bad. But Jesus is in the boat. Hallelujah. That's the difference. You begin to put your faith in God. The storm doesn't mean that God isn't in the boat. And you don't respond to your feelings in the storm because God will not respond to your feelings. He will respond to your faith. Hallelujah. You won't be able to access God through your feelings. Through your senses, when you, talking about taste, you'll taste seawater. Touch, you'll touch a rolling boat. Hear, you'll hear the wind. See, you'll see nothing. You can't see much in a storm. I don't know if you know that. Smell, you'll smell your fear. But you'll access God through faith. You'll access Him differently. And so that's what you do. You refuse to panic and you tell yourself what you know. You talk to yourself in that situation. Hallelujah. And thirdly, you stand on what you believe and you know. You hold on to God's word. You begin to trust Him. You access Him by faith. You hold on to what God said to you. It's you learn to trust God in different situations. You think about your life. You think about how God's led you. You think about how good God has been to you. And you say, you know what? If He's done that in the past, I can trust Him for today. I can trust Him for tomorrow. I don't know what tomorrow may hold, but I know who holds tomorrow. Hallelujah. And that is stage two faith, where you're growing and you're learning new things about God and His kingdom. And God is rewarding you through your faith. And that's how the disciples got to know Jesus in a way that they had not known if they hadn't done some storm time. When you do some storm time, if you come through it, you'll learn things about God you would never have known before. And so Jesus wakes up. He rubs the sleep out of his eyes. He says, what's going on? They say, there's a storm. He stands up. He says, wind, be quiet. Waves, stop. And there's a great calm. And the disciples look at him and they say, who is this guy? Who is he? One minute he's sleeping. The next minute he's commanding the winds and the waves. And they see him in a new way. It was the same with Abraham. When Abraham went through, he had to sacrifice his son Isaac. He went through a storm. He went through that test of faith. And just as he was about to bring the dagger down, we'll look at it later when we do the heroes of faith in Hebrews 11. God said, stop. Now that I know you truly fear me. And there he sees a ram in the thicket. And he sacrifices the lamb and he says, you are Jehovah Jireh, my provider. He sees God in a completely new way because he's gone through the storm. Hallelujah. He's trusted God. And you will discover new dimensions about God. That's how the people in the Bible learn the names of God. Jehovah Jireh, Jesus who commands the winds and the waves. And when you come through it, when you refuse to panic, when you refuse to hold on to your old clothes, when you remember what Jesus has done for you, When you apply your faith to that situation, you apply your faith. Sometimes it comes to the end of the month. You have too much month at the end of your money. You have to apply your faith. You have to look to God. And God begins to come through. And you'll discover Him as Jehovah Jireh, my provider. You trust Him for healing. You trust Him for breakthrough. You trust Him to help you deal with your fears and your other emotions. You trust Him with stuff. You say, this year is a new year. I'm putting on new clothes. I'm trusting God in new ways. It's applying your faith. That's what Jesus said. Where's your faith? You need to put it on. You need to apply it. And God will reward you. Hallelujah. And you will receive much, much blessing in your Christian. It's how you learn Christ. It's how you prove God and grow in the Christian love. You apply your faith to the situation. Hallelujah. And so as I close, my friends, I ask you this morning, where do you need to apply your faith this year? Ask God to speak to you specifically. Don't just say, well, I'm trusting God for 2018. No, that's no good. You remember Yonggi Chao when he was praying for transport? He had to ask for a bicycle, a red one or something. I can't remember. You need to be specific. Lord, what do you want from me this year? And let God speak to you. God may say to you, there's an item of old clothing in your wardrobe I want you to get rid of. You keep using it. Or He may call you to fresh things this year. So I want you to trust me in this. I want you to step up. It's not just surviving storms. It's advancing the kingdom of God. That's really what it's about. You practice in the storm so you can advance the kingdom. Hallelujah. So you need to ask the Lord, Lord, what do you want from me this year? Faith also sees those opportunities. It steps out. Without faith, it's impossible to please God. But when you believe, it opens up things. It opens up things. It opens up your life. It opens up new realms. And secondly, you say to God, Lord, this is what I want from you this year. I want you to do this for me. Please, Lord, won't you do this for me this year? I'm asking you in this area. My faith is weak, but I'm trusting you this year, Lord, to do this in my life. Hallelujah. Jesus said, come on, you need to apply your faith. You need to put your faith into operation in your Christian life. Don't panic this year. Don't allow the devil to throw you those storm balls that just wreck you and your family. Say, no, I'm not panicking. I'm trusting God. I'm going to just ask Him to give me a word. I'm not going to lose faith. And you will find you know God in new ways. You'll find that God blesses you. You'll find that you start overcoming errors. You thought, I'd never overcome that. You'll start overcoming. You'll learn new things about God as you apply your faith this year. I feel it's a word for us individually and a word for us as a congregation that we trust God for great things. And that's why we've got the prayer and fasting, so that you can whisper those things to God somewhere in this building in the next couple of days. Say, Lord, come on, we've spoken about this together. I'm trusting you for that this year. And we'll get together corporately, and we'll trust God corporately for the outpouring. I'm trusting God in my own life for an outpouring of the Holy Spirit in my life this year. That's what I'm trusting God for. And I know God wants some things from me as well. And I'm saying, Lord, won't you help me in those areas? Amen.